Gary Thompson with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I understand that this last week in San Francisco, the Counter E-Crime Summit came up with some very controversial solutions to the botnet problem. One of those solutions was the Internet Driver's License. What's that all about?
Oh, this is actually a rather old idea, and just a few minutes ago I was discussing it with a friend of mine that works at Microsoft who didn't have time to get it approved by legal, so I can't mention his name. But basically he said, you know, this is an old idea. It's not going to work because Internet traffic would come to a standstill, and there are really serious privacy concerns. I don't really think Internet traffic would come to a standstill. I don't think it's enforceable.
Well, what exactly is it?
Well, the idea is that before a person can get on the Internet, they take a proficiency test so that they understand what some of the security risks are of using a computer. It doesn't mean that they don't go to bad sites and get infected by bots and become part of a botnet or anything like that. It just means that they've had some education.
Boy, who would administer something like that? It sounds like a nightmare.
Well, yeah. That'll be about 35 years of political debates and posturing, you know. It's like, well, the government will administer it. No, too much big government. Private industry will administer it. No, too much profit. And yeah, no, it'll never fly. It's just a landmine.
And typical of so many of these solutions, I think people were sort of talking about, well, the government should be responsible for some of this. And someone talked about government-funded free clinics for infected computers. How would that work?
Well, the idea is that you'd have clinics where people can supposedly take their PCs to get disinfected, which is a mind-numbingly oblivious idea, because a lot of the people that need the help cleaning up their PCs don't even know how to unplug a mouse from a computer. They won't know how to twist the screws to get the monitor off the computer. I mean, this just isn't going to work. And then part of the idea was, well, we've got to make it so that people won't be scared to take their computers in, because if they have porn or they have other incriminating evidence on their computer, they're not going to take it in. So you train the technicians to look the other way. But, you know, you've got all kinds of people. Some people will, some people won't. And even then, when they find something, it might not even be intentional that it was on there. It could have been a side effect of an infection. So, I mean, government-funded clinics at a very, very high level perhaps is understandable, but it's not really, really doable.
Well, that makes sense to me. I can't imagine taking my computer into a clinic, or let alone a small business that would. I mean, think of the productivity loss where you'd suddenly be taking taking computers down to a clinic. One of the other ideas that came up was a credit scoring system. And can you talk about that?
Well, the idea would be that you measure how secure a computer and or user are by some method, and there's a certain appeal to that. However, it's got a lot of privacy considerations, because if I've got a really good firewall, you're not going to find out much about my computer. And if I don't have a good firewall, but I've got a lot of very tight security settings, like I've got my browser set to deny all scripting, something like that, you're not likely to find that out. And if I'm the kind of user that is very, very rare, but could actually possibly get along without any antivirus software on my computer at all, you're not going to know that I am that proficient at security. Additionally, if I'm setting up a computer specifically to be a honeypot to capture malicious software samples, so as a security vendor, I can get these samples and create detection and protection for it, you've got to create a system to allow exceptions. And once you allow exceptions, the bad guys will learn how to manipulate those too.
Well, and then one of the other ideas was money. The government would provide rewards to ISPs to, you know, help take down botnets. Do you think that'll work?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's fundamentally the right approach. The only difference in the approach I see between a successful one and that one is you have to charge the users more money for internet access, so the internet service providers have the money to do the job. Because if it's coming from the government, then the government has to collect taxes. And people, by and large, if they pay money for a service and you don't call it a tax, and they'll say that's what it costs. But if you call it a tax and do the same thing for less money, they'll reject it because it's got the T word.
Yes, I can see where that would be a problem. But it's one of the things the government has done in the past is fund large-scale education programs. I wonder if that would work, if there were to be a sort of a national educational campaign to alert general users as to how to avoid botnets, what to do to get rid of them. What do you think of that idea?
I think education is very important. It's not a panacea, but it's certainly very important. And I think that it's one of the few areas that people seem to be somewhat willing to pay some taxes to get benefit out of. However, I think ultimately the ISPs are going to have to do a lot more filtering and preventing infected computers from getting onto the internet. And to do that, it's going to cost money. This report that was at Wired.com, it was called Desperate Botnet Battlers Call for an Internet Driver's License. Some of the people were pretty harsh to the ISP, saying they're not doing enough. But what they have to understand, and I've worked with large ISPs when I worked at Microsoft, is that the ISPs have a very, very low profit margin business. A single support call can cost them more than what the customer pays per month for their access. So if you want the ISPs to take care of the problem, then that's where the logical front of the attack is going to be at. It's going to cost money, and people are going to have to pay more for that.
Yeah, that makes sense, that ultimately the cost is probably going to have to be borne by consumers who, if they start to pay more to prevent these systems, I think that will get their attention and they'll be more vigilant in terms of eliminating the potential for bots. There's a largely unused technique that I've heard of called ingress filtering. What is that exactly?
Ingress filtering is basically an attempt to make sure that computer internet protocol, IP addresses, are not spoofed. Spoofing these addresses is a technique the bad guys use a lot because they don't want to get caught. So if they can make it look like something's coming from another computer, that helps them not get caught. It's also a technique that to some extent is used by good guys that are in favor of privacy. You know, people that fear that some corrupt governments might be spying on them, and it's a perfectly justified fear. It's a very, very tough one. It will cost internet service providers some money, not that much, but some money to implement. It has some privacy repercussions, but it probably is warranted in today's internet environment to help prevent a lot of the untraceable attacks.
So I understand how to avoid getting a botnet for the most part in terms of, you know, sites I shouldn't go to and making sure that I've got the right kind of security on my computer to begin with. How do I get rid of them once they're on my computer? Are there products that I can use to eliminate botnets?
Well, the botnet is actually a group of a whole bunch of bot-infected computers. So your own computer would just be one of the bots in the botnet.
Okay.
And the bots vary in difficulty to remove. Some are pretty simple to remove. Others are using rootkits to hide their presence. The best approach is to prevent your computer from getting infected in the first place. And that's why ESET, the company I work for, places a lot of focus on proactive detection, the ability to detect things that we've never seen before. And that goes for bot software as well as rootkits, keystroke loggers, and a bunch of other software. But even if you're not going to be a convert and come to ESET, maintain a good quality antivirus product, keep it up to date, and especially important is keep your operating system patched. And it doesn't matter if you're using Windows or Linux or Mac, any functional operating system that's a multi-purpose operating system designed to allow you to do lots of different things is designed to run programs. And these malicious programs are still programs. So all of the operating systems are vulnerable, and they really just get attacked based upon what the bad guys think is going to make them the most money. So, of course, Windows right now is the most attacked system in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure that we've stimulated enough interest that people will probably have questions for you, and if they do, they can reach you at
askeset@eset.com. askeset@eset.com.
That's terrific. Thanks very much, Randy. And this has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.